This was an awesome trip. It was amazing, especially when I got to share the gospel all over the world and with family members. They might be listening right now, Monday morning, because it's Monday morning there. If I did my time right, I think it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:16 in the morning in the Philippines right now, Monday. 12 hours. No, it's 12. But it's Monday morning, so when you go across the international dateline, time travel. So that was interesting. So it's way over here. And I like the name of their island because it's Luzon. So that's where I went. And let's start in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time where I can share the good news about go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and thank you for all the blessings you've given me and the amazing things that have been happening and answers to prayer and getting the good news to many, many people where they can know for sure they're going to heaven. And thank you for the people here and help them be encouraged. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Even yesterday when I went to a funeral of Jim Coates, somebody that went to Bible college here, he had an amazing story that, and his family was there. He just passed away, and his witnessing and his giving the gospel clearly to many people all over the world, because he worked for like Christian Law Association and did much with them, and he had amazing faithfulness, and that's a thing that we should all do as Christians: be faithful to give out the gospel. I was doing that yesterday with 8 of us. I think we had 17 Trust Christ at Tyrone Square Mall. But a couple weeks ago, I got to go to the other side of the planet because, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, somebody named Dr. Lynn said, you want to go on a medical mission trip with us? Because I worked with his wife as a Christian school teacher for at Citrus Park Christian School for several years and taught their kids when they were in fifth grade. Now they're doctors, all because I taught them in fifth grade. No. In the Navy. And I guess he's been on like 50-plus medical mission trips all over the world, but he's right there. So I appreciate him being able to get me into this ministry and that kind of ministry. And I was doing Christian school, but I never been to other countries. And so that was an awesome opportunity that he invited me to do, and I've been doing the last 10 years or so, going to different countries. And we got to go to the Philippines. And how many people are really good at geography? I don't see very many. I don't see any hands. So this is on the other side of the planet. It's in the Asia area. And there's 7,000 islands. Can anybody name 2 of the islands? There's a Luzon, we went there, and then we went to Mindanao. I think that's awesome going to, it's awesome going there, it's just not awesome traveling there. Because sitting in an airplane, some people might think that's fun, but not so much. So, you know what happened, flights got canceled because of that CloudStrike thing, Microsoft update, canceled my flight along with thousands of others. So it's like, how in the world are you going to figure out? We were supposed to go to San Francisco. That was a problem, so we went to Houston. And I'm in Houston, so it's like, yeah, well, we can't get a flight right then to go to continue, so we had to wait, go to a hotel. So we got in a van. It's like, well, there's a dude next to me I don't know, so what am I supposed to do? I tell him the gospel. He trusts Christ. So we go to get somebody in Houston, trust Christ, and then we go to Tokyo. We were supposed to go to Taiwan, but we go to Tokyo because we got to figure. I'm not doing the arranging. That's the other guys in the team, because they're like, and I think Sandra from Orlando is doing remote, figuring out how in the world we're going to get the team to the Philippines, because Microsoft is hindering us. There's a great door in a festival, but there's many adversaries. Like, God's still using it. So we go to Tokyo. I'm like, I can't speak Japanese. How am I going to witness to anybody here? So I see two Boy Scouts. And I'm going, well, they speak English. So I go witness to those two guys in the mall. And they trust Christ. not in the mall, in the airport, and they trust Christ. So, and they were running around Mount Fuji, not literally running, but and then they were going back to Colorado. So, when am I ever going to see those guys ever? So, I mean, God put me in places like, ooh. My sister said, maybe God canceled all those flights just so you could do that. I don't think so, but he could. I don't know. He can do what he wants. Then we finally made it to Luzon in Manila, Philippines. When we stayed in the hotel, then we got in another airplane, went down to Mindanao, and then Gingog. When you got two letters, they pronounce them both. They don't do like food. They would be food. That's the way they say things. And the first time I went there was like 8 years ago. Dr. Lynn was on that one. And then we went to a church there, did ministry there, had people trust Christ. And the girl that was 11 now is 18 or 19 or so. And she helped me translate into Cebuano Visayan. And that was really neat to see somebody help me share the gospel. Because I needed translators pretty much everywhere. And it was awesome. How many people have ever heard Visayan Cebuano spoken? Nope? Okay. Because that was neat going down there. And then we went to, on the way back, I got like jokes on here. We have an 11-hour layover at an airport. Like, what? But it's in Honolulu. Oh, excuse me. It's Honolulu. So Hawaii. So we got to go there. Gave out tracts and witnessed to people there too. But I don't think anybody trusted Christ. But that was interesting. But it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's like, hey, I get to actually do this. Going. I've been to Jerusalem, witnessed with John. Some of you guys remember him on the streets of Jerusalem. And that was an awesome blessing where 17-year-old trusted Christ. He came a couple days later to a hotel and we did an interview with him and I threw it up on YouTube. John saw that I got the first one to trust Christ. So he goes, gets two guys are getting coffee on the street and he gets them, so he goes ahead of me. Competition. So that was interesting. He's the pastor in Athens, Georgia, up where Jesse was just at. So we have a responsibility. It says, and this is what I do. I share with them the best news ever. I go to people and say, hey, can I share with you the best news ever? I did that last night to several people. Who was with me? Were you there? No. Well, they're not here today. But there was several from here, and then from other places. So that was neat. It's like, for by grace. This is something that most people in the world don't understand. Grace is when you get it when you don't deserve it. Like I asked a teenager as in the mall, anything free around here? No. That thing you're holding, is that free? No. But eternal life is free. As you're saved, that means you're delivered from hell and you get to go to heaven through faith. That's your trust in Jesus. It's like I trusted the airplane pilot. It's not of yourselves. What do most people in the world think? Salvation is through who? You point at yourself. It's by me. I got to do it. I got to climb up Sunshine Mountain, climb up Jacob's Ladder, whatever. It's big time works. It's a gift of God. Nobody is telling that throughout the world. Well, there are some, but the biggest thing out there in just about all the religions, it's what you earn. It's not a gift. Well, the Bible says it's a gift of God, not of works. I mean, it says it a whole bunch. Lest any man should boast. I can't go bragging about it. It's like, you know why I deserve to go to heaven? Because I've been to all these countries sharing that God loves them. That's why I'm going to heaven? Nope. Does that pay for one of my sins? No, because I got two. No, I got more than that. But you can get rid of one. So I'm in trouble. We're all in trouble. And this is the verse I use when I witness. When I go up to them and say, can I share with you the best news ever? I ask them, is it good news that God loves you? And just about all the time, not every time, there are some people say no, but mostly, 99%. The good news that God loves you? God loves everybody in the world? Is it good news? Yeah. Well, let me ask you, do you know God loves you enough to where you hope you have eternal life? You know you have eternal life, or you don't think about it? And I hear all three answers. Some people last night said, I don't think about it. Some said, I hope. A couple of them said, I know. And if they say they know, I said, well, if you knock on heaven's door and God says, why should I let you in? What would you say to God? Because I go to Calvary Community Church. Nope, wrong answer. It's nothing you do. It's right here. How can you know it? It's not by what you did, it's by what Jesus did. So if this is us, this is sin. God loves us. He hates the sin because it separates us from Him. You might not have seen this illustration before because it's the first time you've seen it with a phone. So we're stuck in this bad situation because we got sin. And it separates us from God. And the penalty of sin is death and hell forever. And I ask, do you want that penalty? Well, I don't want that penalty. Do you want that penalty? And why do I ask a negative question where they should say no? Because if they say yes, they're not what? They're not listening. Because I've had people go, oh, yeah. I said, you want to go to hell? Oh, no, because they weren't listening to me. Because sometimes I'm talking to four or five kids. When I say kids, they might be 20. And you might get some people not paying attention. Four of them say no, and one says yeah, because he's not listening. So try to get their attention. Attention. I love attention. So get their attention so they hear the best news ever. We have the death penalty, what we deserve, and there's no way we can fix it. Because heaven's not good, heaven's perfect. And I say, I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? I had a girl in the Philippines say yes, like three times. She said, yes. I went over again, got the translator, translated it again. Yes, translated it again. Yes. I was like, must be a translation problem. So I got another girl. I need a girl because this is like a 15-year-old guy. So it's like, this girl, come here, help me translate. And then she said, oh, she has like a learning disability. So she helped translate to that girl. So she understood it. Oh, okay. And then that girl trusted Christ with two translators, stereo translators, I guess. But it says, because you have to be perfect to get to heaven. Nobody's perfect. And that's the problem. And good works, if I put good works on top, still got sin. Because good works does not get rid of sin. Because it takes a perfect death on the cross, and nobody else can do that. You can't. So we can't solve that problem. I give an example. When I taught math, if you can't solve the problem, you can't figure it. If you don't understand the problem, you can't solve it. And the problem is nobody deserves eternal life. From this side of the world to the other side of the world. So Jesus Christ, He came down, He died on a what? I like to ask questions that aren't yes and no answers, so they can engage your brain. I want them to think. We've had a couple people like, I don't know what He died on, because they never stepped inside of a church. I know my mom asked somebody, a sixth grader, do you know Jesus? And he goes, no, He's not in my class. So, if somebody never went to church, they might not know what you're talking about. So, but Jesus came, He died on the cross, but He took our death penalty. I like to tell there's five guys there. Say, you guys know each other, but would you die for one another? Don't say anything because you might get mad at one another. And they usually laugh. But because nobody, or it's very rare that somebody's going to die for you. And Jesus died. He came down, he took our sin, He died, and He rose again. And He wants, what's it say here? If you believe in Jesus, this is us, this is Jesus. So if you believe in Him, you believe that He shed His blood on the cross for you, was crucified, and was died and was buried and rose again. And you believe He did that for you. And I like to say, you can't believe for you. You can't believe for you. You have to believe it for who? Your self. And I think that when they understand that, like a light comes on. Like when I taught math, and they understood a fraction, they go, oh, makes sense. Well, you see that a lot. It makes sense. And it says you can know it. Just like you believe somebody's going to get you to school when you get in the bus or school bus. Is that hard when you trust a school bus driver? Most of the time they say no. Sometimes they say yes because they had a bad school bus driver. But it's like, well, when your mom takes you somewhere, you trust her. Yeah. Nobody wants to disrespect your mom. He said, yeah, it's easy. So would you trust in Jesus so you can know you can have eternal life, you can go to heaven? Would you do that today? And we had like 17 last night do that, and 104 in the Philippine trip do that, and It's not me by myself. I'm with teams. I go with other people. I've had a couple dozen people from here go at different times, and people from other churches and to get to the other side of the world. And we had many people trust in Christ so they can know they have eternal life. And I think that's awesome, including family members. And what's neat about the medical mission is, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So we came there to help heal him physically. I didn't do any of that. That was the doctor's job. The other people who did that part. But I think one lady was 88, and she came in for medicine and being looked at by the doctor, Dr. Gina. Maybe she's listening from Oklahoma. Hello. So they are very appreciative and thankful. Like, I remember one saying, you came 9,000 miles to help us? I said, yeah. And they got free medicine, and then they got free spiritual information about this free gift of eternal life, and had people cry when they learned that. So we flew. I mean, this is just one leg, because it was from Houston to Tokyo. And there was a couple more flights just to get one place and back again. So that's an example going, it's curved. Why is it curved? Because the earth is curved. I know somebody might argue, but I believe the earth is a ball. Here's a small city of Manila, only about 15 million. He's like, wait a minute, New York City only has 8 point something million. Yeah, this has got more population. The buildings not might be as tall, but I mean, they got some pretty tall ones, just not 100 floors. But you can see they have a great need. And we went there, mostly speaking Tagalog here. We went to Cross Point. You might have heard that church name before, because that's the pastor that was here talking this morning. That was his church I went to. And he goes, well, I'm going to be in the United States when you be at my church. I said, okay. So, and then I was at his church, and he was at my church. or he was here. Now he came out here. And I never met him until he was here, face to face. I talked to him on the phone or on Facebook Messenger. Like 12 hours difference. So I'll call him up at midnight, and it's 12 noon over there. But so I got to go to this church. This sign is, I took a picture while I was standing in front of it. I didn't pull it off somebody's website. So that was neat. And here's some of the people that went with us. Taylor and one of the Bucks. David or Daniel. David. Starts with Z. And they poke people, get blood out, and do a blood sugar and triage, see how their health is. So they did that kind of stuff. And there's two of the teams at Cross Point. And then there's then they go see Dr. Gina. That's not the little kid. That's the one next. And she came with us to the Philippines 8 years ago, and I think she's been on just about every trip that I've been on. She was being taught by Dr. Lin when doing residency, I guess, because he's a training doctor. Never taught me to be a doctor, but taught a whole bunch of doctors. well, he's got jokes, too. So it was a blessing traveling with, we only had one doctor, but I like to say when I go other countries, I like to take my doctor with me. So she does the medical stuff, and then they do the Bible stuff. You might recognize that track in the Philippines. It's one of the ones we got right back there. I brought several hundred of those, a couple hundred of the Tagalog tracks, and that's a Tagalog English Bible that they have over there. And Keith said it was like 20 cents to print those. It's like, what? It's like, if I would have known that, I would have just got a whole bunch of those, and instead of bringing the ones that cost like $1.50 over here and bring them over there. because I think we brought 300 of those over there. But these had both languages in it. That was neat. And then one of the ladies that goes to Temple Heights helped there. She's an occupational therapist and also helped with the doctors and stuff. And then this guy over here was sharing the gospel. Had a translator, different translators each time. I think I probably had maybe six different translators. You can see my phone. This has traveled a lot. And sharing the gospel with many different people in Cross Point and Day Spring and also Temple Heights Baptist Church in Yingog. And also along the way, wherever, in a van, in a airport, and also airplane. So I think that was awesome blessing. That here's one of my translators, and I told her, "Hey, you're wearing your mask wrong." No, I didn't do that. But here I'm using a water bottle for sin, because I didn't feel like picking up my phone, I guess. But one thing that's interesting is the lights went out, so it's like, how do we keep going sharing the gospel? And then I see all these people like turning on their cell phone light. It's like, they must be used to lights going out, because it happens all the time. So it's like, I'm going to let my little light shine. I want to give these people the light. And so we continue to share the gospel, even though no electricity. Well, except for on the phone. There you go. So let me share with you who the light of the world is. Not this phone, but it's a... How many people have shared the gospel with a phone light and no other? I don't think I've done it until then either. So that was interesting. So it was like there's all these different problems, but God can use those in ways that we have no idea. It's like, how is God going to do that? It's like, oh, look. And there's the 18-year-old that lives right now in Gingog, Mindanao. And she helped translate. Last time we were there, she was like 11. Now she's 18 going into college. And she helped translate. And all the guys I was with is 6'3", 6'3", 6'4", 6'6". And like, hey, guys, I guess I'll be short with you. But because they're all tall. And when they stand next to the Filipino girls, it's like, yeah, what? There's another translator from Cross Point. You might have heard, again, that church. I'm sure Sean Duncan knows him. He's one of their teams that helped translate. And they all were excited about translating because they heard how to do it, because we were training, not only giving the gospel, but we're giving the training to those kids. So, hey, you can do it. You're saying, you're doing it right now. You're translating. He has another translator. Another translator. And then when they're done hearing about how to get to heaven, now you know you're going to heaven. So now you can go see. My names are falling out of my head. William Moss. He was in charge of the pharmacy, giving out drugs. So it's like, hey, you're not drugs. Yeah, we transport drugs internationally. And he was giving people what the doctor prescribed, and it's free. How many people is it easy to get free prescriptions filled here with no insurance, nothing? Just well, that's what we were doing, or they William was doing it. So we fly Anna. We were in Tokyo, and. That's where I saw the Boy Scouts there that I witnessed to. And then we're going to get on Cebu Pacific, and it says we fly every one. And I start realizing there's puns all over the Philippines on their advertising. It's in the blood. It's in my DNA. It's like I was born with it. It's not my fault. It's Filipino. So. Because you literally see it a lot in all the different advertising. And we were on this plane, and we were going from Mindanao to Manila. Got a super typhoon off the coast, rain coming down. We land. We're sitting on the runway. We said we can't get in there because of whatever. So we're sitting there. This girl next to me, like 20 something. I gave her a track, and in Tagalog, she said she spoke Visayan and English. And I'm going, well, I don't think she's going to understand when I witness to her because they don't usually understand very well. So I'm sitting there. I'm just like, I've been on a flight with her for like an hour and a half, and I didn't try to witness to her. I just gave her a track. It's like, is that good enough? And I was like, well, not really, but I don't want to. I don't want to talk to her. I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm looking out the window, arguing with myself. And then I hear Peter Moss, the pastor, in the other seat, talking to Keith Burginal, and he's saying, hey, we're stuck on an airplane on the runway. We can't go anywhere. And Keith Burginal goes, sounds like you like Jonah and the whale. You get stuck inside and you can't go anywhere. And then I'm thinking, I could hear what he's saying, because I was eavesdropping. Why is Jonah get stuck in this big fish? Because he wouldn't tell somebody when he was told to. And I'm thinking, I don't want to tell the girl next to me. And I'm stuck in this big airplane with water everywhere. It's like, oh, I think I got a message. So I was like, I'll go ahead and witness to her. And she trusts Christ. So like 10 minutes of witnessing, she said, oh, yeah, I believe that. I know it. And so I reviewed that. And after she trusts Christ, the plane starts going. I go, hey. And then I told like William and the other people like what happened. I said, you got a Jonah moment. So we go to the luggage carrier, and he goes, you need to, because the luggage is not coming out. He said, you need to give another track out or something, because do another thing. I said, well, it's your turn. So I gave him a couple tracks, and he gave out. He walked up to a guy and gave him a track. And soon after he gave him a track, then the luggage starts coming out. I said, hey, you got your Jonah moment. That was interesting. So those kind of things happened a lot. We went to the Mall of America. There's our team. Doctor in the middle. I guess Peter's taking the picture. It's about six times the biggest Citrus Park Mall. It's SM Mall of Asia. So it's pretty big. And that's where I saw some, let's see, teenagers hanging around. So what am I going to do? At least give them a gospel track. They couldn't really speak that well English, so I couldn't really talk to them very well, but I can give them tracks to say, hey, they understood like basic things. Good news. So I gave them, and then I saw some more of their friends. I think there was like eight of them total, eight or ten. So I gave them little Bibles and Tagalog tracks. So, and they were like, hey, cool. Most of them. I think maybe one of them wasn't that thrilled, but the other ones were like, hey, it's some American dude or Phil-Am, half American, half Filipino, talking to us. So that was neat. And, of course, the puns, they got my store. And I told the one lady, I said, you can't go in there. Why? Because only men go. Oh, throwing up. He's like, can you imagine me throwing up puns in the middle of a mall? So I make them up as I go. Because we're just going along. It's like, where can I get another one? So I try to give out the gospel. And then they got my name in different places. This is where I want Pizza Lou. Then we had, they got one in St. Pete. It's a Philippine McDonald's, basically. They have chicken and stuff, but that's neat. See them all over the place. And this used to be in Tampa. I remember that was like one of my favorite pizzas. And the first time I ate pizza in this millennium was with Dr. Lynn in the mall in I forget what that area, Butuan or something like that. There was I'm not sure if it was in Leyte or in Mindanao, but there was a mall, and they had Shakey's. So we went in. It's like Shakey's closed in the 70s here, there's zero Shakey's in the U.S., but they got them over there, and I liked their pizza. And I went back again because I said, I shall return. And then Shake Shack, I never been there. That was pretty good. You can see it rained a lot. kind of like Tampa, except they have typhoons, we have hurricanes. So I was over there, there's a typhoon off the coast. I come back over here, there's a hurricane off. They're like, hey, it's chasing me around. I brought it. Come with me. There's a jeepney. I didn't travel in that this time. I think we traveled in the last time. I know I traveled it the first time, but I don't know if we traveled in one. No? Yeah. But it's crowded, no air conditioning. But they don't have as many as they used to. It's like when I was over there, I met my cousin in 1991, and I haven't like talked to him since the last millennium. And I'm like, I want to get in touch with him. So Sean Duncan, the pastor that was here this morning, helped me get back in touch with him. And he's like, I'm going to be over there, but I only have like a 3-hour window. So I was like, I want to talk to my cousin. And he's like 82. So I want to give him the gospel. Our fathers were brothers. So that makes us cousins. It's like, how many am I going to get to meet? So I got to meet a few. It's like I was thinking I'd meet maybe one or two, maybe him and his wife or maybe a couple kids or something. But I say, we're having a birthday party for two of these people. It's like, even that 3-hour window you got to visit, this is when this is happening. Yeah, it's a coincidence. I was like, there's a whole bunch of these things going on this trip. It's like I get to meet a whole bunch of family members, and I want to share with them the gospel. So I gave like 20 New Testaments and tracts out and shared the gospel with a bunch of them. I think at least 6 Trusted Christ. So, and in January, I gave out the gospel in New York to a bunch of family members, and I think at least 5 Trusted Christ there. So that's like 11. And I think in the last, my life, 40-something years of being saved, you might get one every couple years to trust Christ. So this is like an awesome blessing, prayer that I prayed when I meet family members that I knew about. Now I'm meeting family members I didn't know about because, like, you get the same last name. And it's like I was making a family tree. There's like 80 people on there. So, like, shake the family tree, get some fruit. And it was neat seeing family members. I don't know if you try to get family members to trust in Christ. Is it easy? So this is awesome that I got to. It was an awesome bunch of food, but I didn't really focus on eating as much. I wanted to share the gospel with these people and the good news. And one girl, Juliana, was like, thank you for giving that, because she was like, it's by faith only. It's not by works. And I never met her before because she's under 33. So it's neat to see people understanding a clear gospel. And she put this on Facebook. And I was like, hey, it's in the family. Her name is family, too. So all I need is butter? Yes. How many people get that? Because I showed it somebody like, huh? What's that mean? Fly, butterfly, butterfly. Oh, well. I thought it was funny because I was like, hey, it's Hernandez humor. And it wasn't. I didn't create it. There's some of the things they get around. I think that was at Clark Air Base area. It's no longer Clark Air Base, but it's Clark near Angeles City or Angeles. And that's where close to the two churches we went to. I'm in Tokyo. There's these like chairs that you can sit in that automatically take you to your gate. And they're free. It's like, excuse me, free? I'm going to sit in one. And it took me to our gate. You just press down where your flight is, and with people in the way, beep, beep, beep. That's in Tokyo. Self-driving wheelchairs, I guess. So that was neat. I've never seen one of those before. I've never seen one in America. But they have them there in Tokyo. Then here's Clark Air Base, and I guess Gina Clark wanted to take a picture because I love Clark. There's Gina on the anti-aircraft gun, doctor. There's two of our team members. Is it a little tiring? Are you okay? Do you have terminal illness? Is there in the airline? That's a dual picture. Those are the guys again. And you can see Peter Moss and his son William. They're both 6'3", 6'6". And then the Filipino pastor. You see the height difference. I was like, my sister is like 5'1". So it's like, yeah, you go over there and you're like one of the tall girls. So that was a blessing to be able to work with those guys all over the world. We've been to several countries. I've been to, I think, 10 of them. You can see the height of the girls and the height of Peter. And he's not standing on anything. He's just standing, and they're standing up straight, too. Those are our translators to get into Visayan, Cebuano language. There's the pastor in Gingog, and I think the youth pastor and another driver, or it might be just two drivers, I forget. And she goes to school right over here at Berkeley, and she's making friends around the world. So I think that was fun for her too, because make you feel at home. A lot of times the Filipino culture is really friendly. So when they meet people their own age, and they're both have the goal is to share the gospel, share the good news that God loves everybody, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, God loves you. You need to know you have the free gift of eternal life. And they got to work together to meet the physical and spiritual needs. There's another missionary that Peter knew that's near where we were. So he got to visit one of the ones that he knew about. There's our team in that one area. And a bunch of little kids. The Angeles City. Now, my first time in the Philippines, it was because of Rotary. And then the next two times, it was because of medical mission. But it's awesome to be able to go other countries and share the best news ever. And even along the way. That's like repeating. Oh, this was Fort Bonifacio. That's Japan attacked Manila the day after Pearl Harbor. And this is some of the stuff that's left over. I don't want to tell a pun about that because it'll bomb. But and then if we have a layover. It's like, where do we have a layover? We have an 11-hour layover. We're, what? I said, but it's going to be in Honolulu. So we can eat there. Have a Louis, not a luau. But so this you can see all these stuff that's like, I've never been to Hawaii. Might as well go. And I think I'm there at the same time the Gilberts are there because the date is pretty much the same. They were getting on a ship. I was getting on an airplane. But I think it was that day. So we saw that. I guess that's Waikiki or something like that. It's up in Diamond Head looking down. Wacky? Waikiki, okay. I don't want to make a wacky joke out of that, but I just made that up just now. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble. So, I'm in Hawaii. It's like, we weren't planning on going to Hawaii for any length of time or even going there. Because the first few times, we didn't stop in Hawaii. So, it's like, okay. When is the one? I think I gave a track to a guy that was from Switzerland or something. He didn't want to talk about it, but he did take a track. And then in Hawaii, you see a rainbow. God's promises. God gave us promises. He promised not to flood the earth. He didn't say not make it wet, but he won't flood it. And then I saw God's promises being fulfilled throughout this trip. And I think it was awesome that so many people trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Because people on our trip and people here, when we go out, obey God's command to give the gospel. I know the first year and a half or so, I didn't give the gospel when I first understood it because I didn't like talking to people. My personality is like, I don't want to talk to anybody. My mom said, If you get in trouble, I'm not sending you to your room because that's where you want to go. It's like, I have no trouble being with me because I like me. So you're being alone? Yeah, okay. What's wrong with that? So me talking to other people, just go randomly talking to people, that's not my personality. kind of like Hank, he got an F in public speaking because he wouldn't stand up and speak in front of the class. We can do it, though. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It matters what you should do. When your dad says, go mow the lawn, you go, Dad, I just don't feel your spirit moving in me. He's like, well, you'll feel something else. God says, go out and do it, especially with family members. I remember talking to my mom. I wasn't good at it, so I said, well, I'll invite her to here. She didn't like this church, so but I invited her to the youth ranch, so she trusted Christ there. And then I get somebody in my family to trust Christ, so then she can help me talk to other family members. And so we got more rolling, getting other people understanding the gospel. So I'm thankful for God's promises and giving us an opportunity to go all over the world. And here, too, we go all over Tampa Bay, from St. Pete to wherever Tampa Premium Outlets is, Wesley Chapel. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't trusted Christ, if you don't know for sure, you can do that today, just like those people from around the world. It's not hard. All you got to do is believe that Jesus is your Savior. And it's not like a long process. As soon as you believe that, God gives you eternal life. If this is us, this is Jesus. He holds on to you. Is anybody stronger than God? No. So can you get yourself out? No. If when Jan had the boys that were like when they were one and two or whatever they were, and he's carrying them across the street, can they get out of his hand? Hope not. I think he's stronger than that. So like, but I want to play in the road. And they're like, no. He keeps them secure. And God, if we go like, I don't want to go to heaven anymore. It's like, you're my child. You're not getting out. I'm keeping you safe forever. We can't lose salvation because we're not the one securing it. God is. So I like to tell the good news that you can get the best free gift ever. And it's eternal because we're not the one securing it. God is. And if you're on the internet, if you haven't trusted Christ, you can do it now. I think there's a button that said, so you can tell us and we can pray for you. But pressing the button doesn't get you to heaven. First time I trusted Christ, I didn't raise my hand because I didn't know who they were. I'm not telling anybody. But I was still saved. And you can, as soon as you trust Christ, you're saved. And if you want to get other people to rejoice with you and pray for you, you can tell us. It's the best news ever. Okay to do the invitation, or you want to do it?
Sure.
Okay, so if everybody bow your head, close your eyes. If anybody here hasn't done that, I'd like to pray for you. Now, prayer doesn't save you, but Jesus saves you as soon as you do that. And if you've done that for the first time tonight, you could have done that when I was talking. But I'd like to pray for you, and you can thank God that you understood that today. Is anybody here trusting Christ for the first time? Just slip up your hand and put it down with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Okay? And if anybody online hears it for the first time and understands it, maybe one of my relatives has seen it in the Philippines, you can trust Christ right where you are Monday morning. God says you can know you have eternal life. Then you can email me or something, and I can pray for you. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Trusting Christ does. God knows where you are, when you are, and He gives you the best gift ever. And I encourage everybody here to share that with their friends and family. That's the title of this, the Friends and Family Plan. Get that good news out. Father, thank you for this time where I could share the best news ever with my friends and family here and in church. And thank you for a church that's clear and focused on giving out the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I skipped some stories. I got another half an hour. No.